Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
You know, sometimes when you're reading through the Bible, you'll find a word that shows up here and there in places, and one time when you're reading through the Bible, it'll just jump out at you and catch your attention. Well, such is the case with the word holy. The first time you find the word holy, it appears in Exodus chapter 3. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 3 and notice that the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Now that caught Moses' attention because the bush was burning, but it wasn't consumed. So in verse 3 of Exodus chapter 3, Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here am I." Exodus chapter 3, verse 5. And he said, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." Holy ground. That's the first place in the Bible you find the word holy, reference to that ground that Moses was standing on. Now, where's this place? Well, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, the place is called the mountain of God, even Horeb, H-O-R-E-B, the mountain of God. All right? That mountain is where God was when he appeared to Moses. And so what made the ground where Moses was standing holy is that God was there. It was the mountain of God. You say, now where is this Horeb? Well, when you cross-reference Scripture with Scripture, you can figure it out. It's Mount Sinai. Let me give you a couple of verses here that will help you with that. Malachi chapter 4. Look at verse 4. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi 4:4. "Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments." All right, well, Mount Horeb is the place where God gave Moses the law. You say, well, I thought that was Mount Sinai. It was. The same mountain goes by two different names. Exodus chapter 19, verse 18. Exodus 20 is when the law is given, right? All right, we'll look at Exodus chapter 19, where the Lord is when he gives it. Exodus 19, verse 18, "And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly," called Mount Sinai. Verse 20, "The Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up." So this Mount of the Lord, where God appears to Moses, is Mount Sinai. And it's where the law was given, but more importantly, it's where God appeared to Moses up there in that mountain, and where he spoke to the children of Israel from that mountain. So what made that ground holy was the Lord's presence there. You know, there was another place when Joshua was told to take his feet off when he met the captain of the host of the Lord. That's because he was standing before God. Now, this idea that we see God's presence there, we understand then that that mountain where Moses was turning aside to see the Lord was not to be defiled by Moses' presence there. So the Lord said, he said, "Take your shoes off." See, I don't want anything of you to defile this holy place. He said, "Put off thy shoes from off thy feet." draw not nigh hither, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. It was to be undefiled. Now that'll establish a pattern for us when you see some of the things we see here, because as we go through the Bible, we're going to see place after place where the word holy is used. Now, we're certainly not going to look at all the places. What we're going to do is build a lesson off of this holy that leads to something significant and helpful to you and me. You see, the holy ground was holy because God's presence was there. That angel of the Lord is God in that bush speaking to Moses. And you know it's God because he says, I am that I am. That's the Tetragrammaton. That's Yehovah or Jehovah or whatever, Yahweh. You know, people that speak our language try to come up with all sort of clever ways to say that. Well, it's just the Tetragrammaton, and really nobody knows how to say it properly. The four Hebrew radicals. Anyway, God's there. So continue on with our study then. We know this about our God. Our God is a holy God. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4 and look at verse 8 as just one example. Revelation chapter 4, look at verse 8. When John is up in heaven and he sees the throne, then he sees the beasts. He describes them in verse 8. He says the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. God is holy. Now, we could go on with lengthy definitions about what that means to know that God is holy. But basically it means, among other things, and we could just give you some words to define or express this holiness. Perfectly righteous. God is holy. He's perfectly righteous. There's nothing wrong with him. He is sinless. He is pure. He's undefiled. You see, when God created the universe as we see it today in Genesis chapter 1, darkness was already here. God said, let there be light, and then he divided the light from the darkness. Water covered the earth. He divided the waters from the waters so that the waters that were on the earth are called seas, and the waters above the heaven, there's water out there in outer space, above what you can see out there. All right, he called that firmament heaven, and those waters that are up there, John sees in Revelation chapter 4, he says that thing looks like a sea of glass under the throne. Job says the face of the deep is frozen, and God's on the other side of that. Why? He has definite interaction with us, and he is all in all and controlling things and doing things here in the earth and has fellowship with us and all those kind of things. But he, hard to describe God when you think of him being everywhere and yet being over there on a throne. His physical presence is up there on the other side of that thing, separated from all this that's going on down here. He's a holy God. He's not going to be defiled. So listen, imagine people here taking the name of God Almighty in vain. Can you imagine such a thing? Can you imagine people cussing and using God with a word like damn in order to act cool and be proud? You know, I don't watch movies per se. I've certainly been in places like a hotel lobby or even in the hotel room. We might be scanning quickly through the channels to check out something and go buy a movie, and you see a little segment of it there. And it's an amazing thing how many movies that come out of Hollywood, at some point in the movie, some character has to blaspheme God by taking his name in vain. Can you imagine such a thing? And that second commandment, third commandment, says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. First one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Second one, you're not to make any graven images to bow down thereto. Third one, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Can you imagine such a thing with a holy God? A God that's so holy, he says to Moses, take your shoes off, come not nigh, draw not nigh, because the ground is holy. And now you're talking about the God who's speaking to him out of the bush, and somebody would degrade God that way. Can you imagine evolutionists who say he doesn't exist? Imagine such a thing. Not only did Moses encounter holy ground at the mountain of God and encounter a holy God, but do you know something? Jesus Christ is holy. God is holy. Jesus Christ is holy. That's right. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Just kind of running down some things here for you. God is holy. That ground is holy. Jesus Christ is holy. All right. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, of course, the angel is explaining to Mary that she's going to have a baby without a man. She asked how. In verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Some people may be offended that the Bible says holy thing. Okay? may I tell you something? I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 27. Peter is preaching. And look what he says. He's quoting now from Psalm 16, and he says this, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. In Acts chapter 4, verse 27, of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. Jesus Christ is holy. Why is that? Well, if the mountain was holy because God was there, and God is holy, then you know why Jesus Christ is holy? Because he's God, manifest in the flesh. You see, the angel says to Mary, that holy thing that should be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. He is God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You know something? I think the modern Bibles detest that about Jesus Christ. Why? Because they change 1 Timothy 3:16 to say he was manifest in the flesh, he who was manifest in the flesh. And who's he? Why not just say what it really is? God was manifest in the flesh. Why attack or degrade his deity or leave any uncertainty about it? They remove 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Why would you remove such a verse that shows you unequivocally that Jesus Christ is God and equal with the Father? Jesus Christ said, I and the Father are one. Why would you do that unless you detest the holiness of Jesus Christ? Why is he holy? He's sinless. You know, he says to the Pharisees, which of you convinceth me of sin? Righteous. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Perfect. And like the mountain, like God himself, undefiled. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. I'm just taking the Bible at its word. The Bible says, speaking of Jesus Christ, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Well, that's where God is. Higher than the heavens, separate from sinners, undefiled. You see all those words that magnify the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, he's God manifested in the flesh. The thing that makes him holy is he is God. Holy, pure, righteous, undefiled, sinless, perfect, pure. That's what I love about the Lord Jesus Christ. The entire time that he was here on the earth, the Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. That'll separate him from every other human being that has ever lived on the face of this earth, whoever will. You know, we've been talking about holy. We've already mentioned it in Luke chapter 1, the Holy Ghost. That's right. The Spirit of God is holy. Luke chapter 1, we read it when we read about that holy thing which should be born of thee should be called the Son of God. The Spirit of God is holy. Look what he says here in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The Spirit of God is holy. You say, what does that mean? Well, I mean, you see this a lot when you read about the Holy Ghost. You just keep reading through there where Jesus Christ is introducing him as the Comforter, as the Spirit of Truth, and he's holy. You read about him in Acts chapter 1 when he comes upon the disciples that are gathered there in the upper room. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He's God. That's why he's called the Holy Ghost. He's called the Holy Spirit. What is a ghost? A ghost is a person without a body. So, you know, when you get saved and the Holy Spirit comes up inside of you, you know what happens? Now the Holy Ghost has a body, which is an interesting thing. That's where this whole study is really leading, because we could talk about other holy things, a holy habitation, speaking of where Israel would go into the Promised Land, a holy convocation, which is what they observe during the Feast of the Unleavened Bread at the time of the Passover, those kind of things. But we're avoiding those to talk about these aspects of God. Why are we looking into these things? Eventually it has something to do with you and me. You see, the Bible says that the Spirit of God is holy and that he has fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. The idea is that when you get saved, the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of you and is beginning to manifest inside of you those attributes of God that are holy. We have a holy ground that lets us know things become holy when God's there. So God is holy, Jesus is holy, the Spirit of God is holy. Did you expect anything else? Listen, the Holy Spirit will never do anything contrary to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will never do anything contrary to God. The Holy Spirit will never lead you or allow you into sin. He's perfect, he's without error, he's pure, he's sinless, he's righteous, he's perfect, he's undefiled. And then we have the Holy Bible. At least that's, you know, a lot of times you look at the cover of the book that we're quoting out of. Mine, when I turn to the cover, says Holy Bible. You say, now why would that be? Well, turn to Exodus chapter 20 and I'll show you why that be. Exodus chapter 20, look at verse 24. An altar of earth thou shalt make me, or make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. So this is the Lord giving instruction at the end of the Ten Commandments about this altar that's to be built. But watch it. Here's what he says. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. You know where the Lord records his name? In the Holy Bible. What makes it holy? God is there. Listen, this is an interesting thing. If God is perfect, righteous, sinless, pure, undefiled, and so forth, and that Bible is to be holy, then do you know what that indicates about the Bible? Perfect, without error, pure, undefiled, righteous, sinless. You know, the thing that I detest about the modern translations is that men they didn't take the shoes off when they got a hold of the words of God. They didn't. They started making changes in there because of the copyright laws and so forth so that they could market their Bibles as something different than somebody else's, make a little money off of you. And they started getting in there and defiling God's words and corrupting God's words. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:17, we are not as many which corrupt the words of God. He said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is the word of God. But you know what you're hearing in the modern Bibles today? The word of men. They've defiled it. They've put their footprint on it. They've taken away from the deity of Jesus Christ. They've taken out some of the verses. They'll go to you and they'll say, well, we're justifying this because of something missing in an old manuscript or some thing like that. Let me tell you, they are not consistent in that type of translation work at all. And the Bible that you have a lot of times when you're reading in a modern Bible is not a holy Bible at all. It's been defiled. Somebody's tramped on the thing. The Lord said about that altar that's supposed to be an altar of earth, he said, if it's an altar of stone, don't you put an iron tool upon it, because you'll defile it. And when a man takes his pen and he gets in here and starts messing around with the Word of God, you know what he's doing? Defiling it. Listen, listen, listen. When we started getting saved and God started building the church, you know what we're called in 1 Peter 2:9? We are called a holy nation. That's right, 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he's talking, when he says a holy nation, he's talking about all of us who've gotten saved. And why are we a holy nation? Because God is among us. We are to be holy, and therefore we are to be separate from the world and peculiar. You know what's gone wrong with modern day Christianity? You can't distinguish modern-day Christianity from the rest of the world. Why? It is defiled. They've allowed every kind of modern thing going on with the people who are supposed to be of a holy nation, and there's no separation from sinners. They're defiled. I say they're defiled. It's we're defiled, not perfect. You don't demonstrate the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Sin is now being preached as acceptable. There's not purity in the thing. There are people that are professing to be Christians that are now writing books that say homosexuality is okay and premarital sex is okay and, you know, just kind of do whatever's right in your eyes, that that's okay. Let me tell you something. The Bible says because God is in the church that we are to be a holy nation. It's no wonder when you read about the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3. We're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And God says, but you're wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked. Why? Why? Because they sold out the holiness of God for worldly pleasure. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Men shall be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, the Bible says about these perilous times. And we are to be a holy nation. Do you realize what that's calling you to? Separation from the world. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. You'll be my sons and daughters, be a father unto you. You say, well, how in the world is that nation, all of Christendom, those who are really truly saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, how are they going to be, how's that going to be a holy nation? I'll tell you how. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. And 17, right in here. He says, but as he which hath called you is holy, we've seen it. God is holy. Jesus Christ is holy. The Spirit of God is holy. The Bible is holy. As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You say, well, why should we do that? Because wherever God is, that thing is to be holy. God was on that mountain. That ground was holy. God himself is holy. God is Jesus Christ. Holy. The Spirit of God is holy. The Bible is holy. Why? God's there. The church is supposed to be holy. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Why are you to be holy? Because God is in you. Individual holiness in your life comes from the presence of God within. How can you, in good conscience, allow sin in your life? You say, well, we're all sinners. I got that. I know that. But the truth of the matter is, why would you wallow in it and delight in it and continue in it? The Lord doesn't want that. The old man is to be crucified with Christ. Amen. But that new man is to be put on. And he's not like the old man. He's different in every capacity. And I'll tell you, the distinguishing characteristic is you've got Jesus Christ inside of you. That new man is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Then you need to be holy. Let me just give you some things. Hey, that stuff you watch on television at night, all right, is that really suitable stuff for the eyes of a holy person? Be ye holy, for I am holy. Ask yourself the question, is this stuff that I'm looking at defiling me? How about that music you listen to? What's that doing to your spirit? What's that doing to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty and the work of the Holy Bible in your life? Is that stuff holy or is it worldly? Listen, that stuff that you put into your body through your mouth, is that stuff good for somebody that is to be holy? Ask yourself. Listen, the stuff that goes through your mind, are those the thoughts of people that are to be holy? You say, well, no. Well, then, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Those thoughts, those imaginations are to be brought under captivity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those imaginations, they exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. They need to be brought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. You need to be holy. People don't preach about holiness much. Let me ask you something. That stuff you do to your body, that stuff you do with your body, that stuff that you put on your body, is that becoming of somebody who is to be holy? People are all tatted up today and all pierced today and walking around talking about Jesus. I love what somebody said one time. They said, how would you feel if somebody came to your church and painted graffiti all over the outside of it? You say, well, I'd hate it. Well, did you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? How do you think the Holy Ghost feels when you graffitied it all up with tattoos? How would you like it if somebody took a screwdriver and poked holes all in the exterior of the building? You say, well, I wouldn't like it at all. Well, how do you think the Holy Spirit feels about it when you poke the outside of His building with piercings? You see, you're supposed to be holy. And holiness comes from the presence of God within. And the problem is, the land is defiled. Everybody's trampling it down with dirty shoes. I pray that God uses us. I realize that we're not going to have our sinless perfection until that we are with the Lord God in heaven in our glorified bodies. But may I tell you something? We'd do a lot better than we're doing today if we are to be holy like He's holy. Remember that God is in you. Remember that Jesus is in you. Remember that the Holy Ghost is in you. Remember that that Holy Bible is working through you to purify you. And remember that you're a holy nation. And be ye holy, God says, for I am holy. Amen, and may God bless you when you pursue this. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.